Oh, yeah, I'm so happy, I'm so sad, and I oh, just fuck off.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Friday. There are only 2 days left of 2022. So, James, let's make it memorable.
Such, I have no idea what's going on, mate.
James has been under the weather this week, so I think he deserves extra credit for literally just powering through.
I've not been powering through nothing, mate. I've just been surviving through.
Yeah, but people are still at their content, so yeah, let's smash this pod out and then you can get back to. You still got Harry at home, no nursery this week, right?
Yeah, but Katie's off work today, so
oh, it's lovely.
A little easier today.
Go to bed, have a whiskey and go to bed at
no,
10 in the morning.
No, I've got shit to plan for the streams, haven't I?
Oh, yes. Deadlines on a Friday, James's favourite.
I do intend to get up at about lunchtime tomorrow, though.
Nice. So let's get into the predictions and then we'll talk about our teams, all the leagues, minus 56 and so on. First game is my team, West Ham United versus Brentford, James.
Do you want me to go first?
Oh, I'm predicting Brentford 2-1.
Oh my God.
It's going to be bad.
That's so grim that you're doing that.
I don't know where the goals are going to come from, James. Although Scamacca, he says, has been training. He's obviously
he's
not
going to start. He's not going to start.
No. I know he said he'd been training and Aguerd had been training, but was just not fully there yet. 13 goals all season.
I don't know how you've managed that.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Not like
four
you're
defeats
not,
on the bounce.
It's not like you're not normally a team that doesn't have like your centre backs are normally if you have Zuma plays 38 games a season, he's normally good for three or four goals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Same
Dawson's
with Dawson. Rice, you know, is good for four or five a season. Like
two or three, maybe, Rice.
Yeah, maybe. Suchek's good for a couple, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's good for seven or eight.
What I'm saying is if you put even those four players across the course of a season, they're probably gonna get you 10 to 13 themselves across a whole season. We're halfway through.
Yeah.
And your team's on, well, not halfway through, but near enough. And you're on like 13 and shit. I don't know how you've done that, mate. I think tonight's game for you, I think it can go either way. I think you're favourites with home advantage and stuff. And I think it could be one of them. I do have kind of flashbacks of the night you played. I want to say maybe it was Bournemouth a few years ago when
Monday
Moyes
night.
Just when no a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
When Moyes just took over and you won 4-0.
Mm.
I think it was Bournemouth that you played.
It was.
And I feel like it could be one of them where if it clicks for you, they can be one of them Brentford where they fold away from home a little bit, but. If you don't score early, they become a very, very difficult team to play against. The game becomes slow. Your desperation for a goal, if you need it, against their, oh, it's gone out for a throw. We're going to take a long throw. That's a minute gone. Is a pain in the fucking arse. And I think if you don't score early, you're in trouble. If you score early, you generally could win quite comfortably.
Yeah.
But
I'm just looking at the league table. Everyone in the bottom half except Wolves lost. 11th to 20th. Palace, Villa, Leicester, Bournemouth, Leeds, West Ham, Everton, Forest, Southampton. We all lost last game.
Yeah. There's another way you can do that. There's only one team didn't win in the top half. There's two.
Two.
They played each other.
That's a mad one.
Palace started the week in the top 10, so it's not completely correct. I'm going to go 2-1 Brentford.
2-1 Brentford as well, yeah. Not great.
I genuinely hope that's wrong, by the way.
We need to sort ourselves out. Liverpool-Leicester is the other game that kicks off slightly later on Sky today. Leicester have been okay. They weren't great last game, but... Liverpool home game. They played with decent tempo against Aston Villa. I think they're good for a 2-0 win. Madison's not playing, is he?
No, and
yeah, then 2-0.
We're gonna speak about him a little bit more because we don't actually have a prognosis. This appears to be slightly different injury to what you picked up at your place in game week 16. So he'd gone down to London to see a specialist, and it sounds like it might be something that very quickly turns into, oh shit, Maddison's going to be out for 2 months. It might be something where they go, he's back next week. He's certainly not going to play tonight. And I just think that's psychologically very, very damaging for them. There's increasing speculation going on about Yuri Tielemans perhaps moving next month. And it's all gone very quickly from they had a brilliant run, didn't they, before the World Cup. Mm. One bad result the other day. In a game many of us thought that they would lose anyway. But very quickly they get battered tonight and it's like, oh, doom and gloom at Leicester again. And I think Liverpool win this comfortably. I've actually gone for a lot of goals this week. I've got 3-0 Liverpool.
Okay. I'm not going that crazy, 2-0. But yeah, I think for the likes of Nunes and what have you, with the signing of Cody Gakpo, as much as they say, oh, it's good to have competition, they're going to want to prove themselves. So tomorrow, early kickoff, 12:30. This is the one you'll wake up for, James. Wolves, Manchester United.
I think this is a challenging game for United. Wolves will obviously, just psychologically, mood is going to be very, very different, having won at Everton and obviously new managers in place as well. And it did reach the Carabao Cup quarterfinals, expectedly so as well. I think this is a challenge. United are clearly 1-11 throughout the team, top to bottom, better than Wolves. But I tell you what, when they get up at Molineux, it can become a challenge. And I have zero doubt that there'll be a very committed performance in front of that atmosphere and Lopetegui's first Premier League home game tomorrow. So I'm actually going to go for 1-1.
Okay. I've got 2-0 to 2-0 to Manchester United down for this one, James. I think Wolves are struggling for goals, even though I know they scored a couple. But... yeah, but I think United defensively, I think solid.
The one tactical aspect on it is clearly United have got problems defensively at the moment. Mm. So is Harry Maguire going to come in? Is it going to move Luke Shaw back to left back? Is Wan-Bissaka, I actually thought Wan-Bissaka played right the other night. Wan-Bissaka going to play right back? So there's a few question marks where clearly that's not their first choice back four. So I think that if you'd have asked me Wolves v United, and the game was at Old Trafford tomorrow, I'd probably be going like 3-0 United, for example. I just think it's a combination of a few defensive issues, atmosphere, Lopetegui's first home game. I'm going to not be boring. I'm going to back Wolves to get something.
Okay. Bournemouth Palace for me is a 1-1.
It's a huge game for Palace quite suddenly. Mm. Off the back of the other day and off the back of the fixtures to come. That said, Bournemouth 2 will look at their next two fixtures after Palace of United away, Brentford away, and think, this could very quickly turn into four defeats in a row if we don't do something here. I think Bournemouth will win, actually. I didn't think they were nowhere near as bad as everybody. They were getting pummeled on Amazon the other night for the way they played. And they just got beat by a team that was far better than them, and it was the best Chelsea had played for quite a while. I think Bournemouth, I'm going to back Bournemouth to nick this 2-1, actually.
Okay. Fulham at home to Southampton. I've got 2-0 down for this one, James. To Fulham, I should add.
I didn't think you were going to go.
Did I need to add?
No, to be honest, you didn't, which speaks a lot for Fulham, actually. It obviously speaks a lot for Southampton as well. I think probably of all the games this weekend, this is the one you wouldn't put 0-0 on the card. So it probably will be. I'm going to go 3-1 Fulham.
Okay, you're back in Southampton to get a goal.
I think it has the potential to have a car crash element to it, i.e. a 4-3, or I don't think that's impossible. So I'm going to go 3-1 Fulham.
Manchester City, home to Everton.
Go on, just put the number on it. Did that really come 4-0?
4-0.
You're that confident?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've gone 5.
It could be a cricket score type situation kicking in where if they're on it, I feel like Foden might get back into the team. So if he's got a front three of Foden, Grealish, and Haaland, and then De Bruyne, Rodri, and Gundo behind, oh man, they could if they're in the mood, they could do what they wanted.
I think the team will be similar to what played at Leeds. So like, I'm a Cancelo owner. I don't think there's any guarantee that he starts. I think it's a similar story for Foden. They may start, they may not. I really don't know. But like, if Rico Lewis is in the team again and stuff, he's not going to be a surprise, partly because of the opponent. Like, he ain't going to be shitting himself about whatever team he puts on the pitch against Everton. I do think Haaland and KDB will play. Mm. And it's because 5 days to Chelsea. So I don't really see a big reason to get the game won and tap him off after an hour if you want to, I think, rather than the other way round. So I think they'll play. Those who haven't started, I'd be less confident about. I think if you want a mad one-week punt, Riyad Mahrez would be who I'd be very, very interested in looking at. But I don't think anyone's in a position to look at that sort of thing at the moment. Everton aren't going to be helped by the fact that you might have players coming on later into the game who are keen to get their fitness up and impress. And the fact that City don't have another game for 5 days means that I don't see this being a, it's 2-0 at half-time. Let's just stroll around. And I think that they'll probably go for the kill a bit, actually. Mm.
So, they need to, if they win, obviously, putting 2 points between them and Arsenal suddenly puts the pressure on Arsenal, which is just now one game in it kind of thing. So
it also might be, depending on the manner of it, look, you can get beat 5-0 at Man City. This will sound ridiculous. You can get beat 5-0 at Man City and not play badly.
Yeah, understood.
In the sense that they'll just destroy you because they're so much better. But if Everton lose 5-0 and the manner of it is particularly bad, i.e. lack of commitment or anything like that, I think that Frank Lampard might not be in charge when they play Brighton next week.
Newcastle Leeds. This is no. I've got it down as a 1-1, James. So this might some might consider that a surprise.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
What's the thinking?
High energy Leeds. I think Leeds are going to just go out and play with high energy. Newcastle have been on a really good run, and these runs sometimes come to an end. I don't think that it'll be a bad game. I don't think Newcastle will play badly, but I just feel like the high energy of Leeds. And they've been doing so well for so long. Eventually, it's going to come and come to an end. And I think this is going to be the game.
So basically, it's just Newcastle have been winning too much. It's got something's got to change. Yeah. On the high energy comment, I think you should.
They
factor
did play
in
a few days ago,
and against Man City, and Newcastle have had 2 days extra break.
Yeah.
So I think that should factor in. Tyler Adams back is obviously going to be particularly helpful to them, but they're still not going to be at 100% Leeds, although obviously neither are Newcastle. As it stands currently, Eddie Howe is doing his press conference while we're recording, Suj. We're not expecting Callum Wilson back at this stage, but I'm going to just check news on that. I do have a vision here. It's interesting that you've said that. I can envisage Leeds going in front here. And I can't quite explain to you why that is. I'm going to go 3-1 Newcastle.
Yeah. Straightforward as that. Cool. And then Brighton Arsenal is the 5:30 kickoff tomorrow, James. I'm going to back Arsenal in this one comfortably with Casado out. Is my phone ringing? No, it's an alarm. Telling me I have to do something at 10 o'clock.
You've got an intruder in your house.
Nah. I had to do something at 10 o'clock about 5 weeks ago. So I set an alarm to remind myself 10 a.m. on a Friday. And I just never turned that alarm off. I need to switch that alarm off. Every Friday at 9:55, it goes off. Let me switch it off now. Cool.
You're a joke.
It's done now. Brighton Arsenal. I think 2-0. Casado missing is a big miss. Obviously, Brighton will play with intensity, but so will Arsenal, and they're decent at the back. Defensively, they're good. I think Arsenal 2-0.
I'm really really disappointed with this Casado suspension. Really annoyed about it. I'm looking forward to the game as much as I can or can't look forward to an Arsenal game at the moment. Because I do know that even without Casado and McAllister, Brighton stylistically can will give Arsenal challenges that don't exist against any other opponent in this league. And it'll be interesting to see if Arsenal go in for a pressing strategy into the midfield too. My best guess is it's probably going to play Lallana deeper just because he's a decent press-resistant footballer. Lallana and Gross as two deeper players, which is part why I suggested I think Trossard might end up playing a little bit deeper. And if those two play well, Brighton have got a chance. It'd be interesting if Arsenal try and go in and press the midfield two, whoever they are, or if they just go, nah, that square block of four, the two midfielders and the two centre-backs, they can come out and do what they want and then we'll defend behind and draw them on and counter-attack on them. I think Arsenal will find spacing behind easier than they probably will do for many games left this season, is the flip of it. I think it could be an absolutely brilliant game of football. I'm going to go 3-1 Arsenal.
I might watch it. I'm just thinking, where am I tomorrow?
Get it's to my New Year's Eve and it's 5:30. I certainly will not be going out. It is the worst fucking night of the year to go out.
Agreed. Last 2 years we stayed in. So this year I've got no choice. But we're only going to my brother-in-law, so it's all good.
It's quarter to 12 and everyone realises they've had a shit year. And they have to get paralytic because it's like, oh my God, this is a culmination of a year's worth of work. No, you've been in the fucking pub having a drink, chill out. Everyone has to go mental. And in that period from quarter to 12 to quarter past 12, everyone starts crying. Oh, yeah, I'm so happy. I'm so sad. And I just fuck off.
I remember once I went to my mate's house. He'd
quarter to one, everyone wants to start fighting.
he'd invited about 7-8 of us round to his house on New Year's Eve. So all couples, we'd gone round, we were having a few drinks, it's all good. It got to like 11:30 and there's a pub, like literally 5-minute walk from his house. So we're thinking, right, look, midnight's coming up. He's like, let's go down the pub. We'll have a drink at the pub and we'll celebrate New Year's at the pub. There'll be an atmosphere, there'll be loads of people. And then we can come back after. And then so half the group are like, nah, fuck it. We'll just stick it on, stick the Big Ben or whatever on TV and have a drink here. And then half the group are like, half the group are like, let's go down the pub and celebrate New Year's. And we're like, nah, it's going to be rammed. We'll never get to the bar and get a drink in time. In the end, we decided to go to the pub, right? So we're walking down. We open the door of the pub, piled in. And this is a busy pub, fucking empty. We all just turned around and looked at each other. We were like, what the fuck has just happened here? Because there was more atmosphere in his house than there was inside this pub. But yeah, that was a memorable, so quite funny happened? Years. I don't know. Just no one was in the pub that day. It was probably about 4 years ago. Maybe it was COVID year, lockdown.
such a shit story. Sid.
Spurs Villa. That's going to be a shit story. You're going to tell us all about it on Sunday night. Spurs Villa.
2-1-2. The mighty Lily Whites I'll go for. Villa are a team we do normally beat. I fancy, particularly of Bentancur's back. I haven't got the information at the moment. Romero, I've heard nothing, so I don't think he's going to be available. Bentancur's back strongly fanciers. To be honest, fanciers to win in any case. They present challenges, Villa. One of the big challenges I think they present is to think teams are going to find this. I think it's going to be really important to score first against them. And that's a problem that we have, is scoring first in games. I think we're going to achieve that on Sunday. I think the crowd will be up for it because the crowd are sick of this as well now. So stop waiting and expecting the team to start well and help them start well. So I'm going to go 2-1 to us.
Yeah, I'm going to back you, James, 2-1 as well. I think it's a safe prediction.
It is a safe prediction, yes.
And last but not least, Nottingham Forest versus Chelsea. I'm going to go 1-0 to Chelsea.
Well, I've got the same. I've got the same. I think this is a challenge for Chelsea, but I think the challenge has become easier by the absence of Morgan Gibbs-White. We haven't got a prognosis yet of Jesse Lingard, whether it's a long term or if he just had a tight hamstring and went, get me off the pitch. But it's problematic for them in terms of losing those two players together. So I can envisage this being a game where Forest give Chelsea problems, but Chelsea score the goal and win it and take the points. And I don't know if I'm with Reece James being absent, if I'm being a little bit silly predicting Chelsea for the clean sheet here, but that's what I'm going to go. I'm going to go 1-0 Chelsea.
Cool. That's all of the predictions, James. Your main team, obviously you're looking at replacing Reece James. Is that the only transfer you're looking at doing?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me taking minus fours Martial to Mitrovic just for Mitrovic to perhaps get booked tomorrow or something. I could look at it and say, yeah, I think Mitrovic outscores Martial this weekend. I do. Is it worth the minus four? Not really. Is it going to be worth the minus four come Monday? Not sure again, to be honest. Mm. Let's see how the weekend goes. But it's probably one of them surgery I could do with that. Martial gets injured tomorrow.
Yeah, to make
the decision quite makes a yard. Okay, finally, I'm just going to go and buy Mitrovic. I have to deal with the first problem, which is Reece James is out for a month. It's now confirmed. So that needs moving on. My instinct yesterday was Sven Botman. That's still my instinct. The only thing with the instinct is it gives me a selection dilemma for this week, which I was always going to have anyway, because if Reece James had stayed fit, he certainly would have played for me away to Nottingham Forest. So the dilemma was always going to be White at Brighton or Pereira at home to Southampton. Now I can throw Botman in there and make it a three-way dance. So I could end up buying Botman and benching him. I back Leeds to score. I back Brighton to score. And I'm backing Fulham to... I've said Fulham-Southampton could be wild. So I feel like I should play Pereira, I think.
Okay.
That means I'm leaving out White or Botman. Brighton, we presume, are going to have no Danny Welbeck either. But I do think they might be able to present challenges to Arsenal. I think I probably will play Botman over White, I think. No doubt, whichever way I do that, Quintos would be fucking wrong. But I probably means I'm going to bench Ben White and have him first sub. I suspect that's the position that a lot of people might find themselves in this week. Are you fingers
me included?
Up as well? Yeah.
I'm going to be buying Andy Robertson. I was waiting to see if there was a price rise for Robbo and a price fall for Reece James last night, which didn't happen, so I could move today. But that means, yeah, if I buy Andy Robertson, I'm going to play him over Ben White. So Ben White drops back down to the bench. And so my bench is Pereira, Ben White, and Nico Williams. But that's the right person to bench. So that's what I'm going to do.
I think it's probably not a consideration for you to roll because of who you're buying.
Yeah.
For me saying, oh, I'll get Botman, I might even bench him. Of course, I have thought about it. But my take is that I think he's the right decision for me. I know there's a few considering rolling. All I'd say is, like, if you don't make the transfer before deadline, are you going to force yourself to make the transfer before transfer deadline tonight, as in price change deadline? Because Reece James is going to get absolutely thumped out today.
Yep.
And you'd think he'd probably drop in price tonight. So if you're rolling and thinking, oh, well, that's giving me time to think, the psychological of the price drop, and I'm going to guess that all of us have just bought Reece James new, so we would be losing the price if he does drop, needs to go tonight, even if it is after deadline. And what's going to change from Liverpool, Leicester and West Ham, Brentford to give me more information, to be more informed about my decision for next week? Nothing. So I think Botman's the right choice for me. And that's almost certainly the transfer I'll make, subject to some of the team news this afternoon. Interestingly, Mikel Arteta's press conference is 4 o'clock. It's quite late. And I'll be starting the team news stream at 4. Now, fortunately, Arsenal is, if they're all fit, is probably the easiest team in the league to predict at the moment. The only debate would be who plays left back. I think he might bring Zinchenko in for Kieran Tierney. And there's a few that there's not going to be anything today. It looks like Pep's one of them, for example. If you're waiting on it, doesn't look like there's going to be anything. But yeah, I think it's going to be Botman for me, Suj.
Okie dokie. Cool. So, should we go through the dead team and then sort out our differential team, and then we can tell everybody all about our minus 56s.
Have you actually done it for a change?
What, my minus 56?
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah? Well, you come prepared.
Ready. I'm prepared, mate.
Love you, mate. Brilliant job. Right, dead team for us. Excuse me. 60 points for the dead team, which normally we'd be happy with. That's an 8.4 million game week rank this week. it just looks unfathomable every week when I look at this back line. Trent, Cancelo, Perisic, James, 5 points. It's like, how do we dodge this every week? 24 points for Salah and 15 points for Mitrovic makes up nearly two-thirds of our return, Suj. There was a goal for James Ward-Prowse via a penalty miss and assist for the magnificent Jared Bowen, Suj. Dead team of the week, FPL cricketer, 95 points. Returns for Sanchez, Van Dijk, Captain Salah, Saka, Mount, Bruno Guimaraes, Jared Bowen, Ivan Toney, Alexander Mitrovic. 9 out of 10 returnees there. The lowest score of dead teams was 41, actually, which was Zombie Phil. And he had 15 points for Mitrovic included in there. Differential team of the week. Wasn't a hugely high scoring one, Suj, actually. 69 points for David Thorpe. Helped massively by 22 points for Mason Mount and Kai Havertz. It was an 8 for Robertson, 6 for Bruno Fernandes. I must have captained him. 5 for Xhaka, 6 for Botman, 8 for Luke Shaw, 9 for Kepa. Lowest score in the differentials was 27 points for Johan Telstad. Frustage, 49 points. Pretty disappointing across the majority of the back line. Not helped by Madison and Callum Wilson being no shows. Obviously, we did the team on Friday, and I'm not going to lie, I forgot about it over the weekend. We probably should have fucked James Madison out, who's dipped to around about 5% ownership, by the way.
Wow.
We were in he was over 10%, Suj. That was one of the reasons why I was like, well, let's definitely hang on. Returns for us were Martial, Mason Mount, Robertson and Kepa, essentially. 9.977 game week rank. That's millions, by the way, not thousands, obviously. So bust this week with a couple of problems, Madison and Callum Wilson. I have been looking for potential Callum Wilson news while I've been doing this. I haven't got anything that I can share with you as yet. My instinct suggests he doesn't start.
Agreed.
And with Arsenal away next, should we be selling?
Well, he's at 7.1 and he's only going to go down percent ownership. So as opposed to a million in price, he's 7.
Wilson news. Callum Wilson trained on Thursday following illness. Eddie Howe will make a late call on his involvement. Did you learn anything from that? No.
No. Same as Skamaka, isn't it? He's trained. He's been in training. What are you going to fucking learn?
I think he'll be a sub. But then it's an awkward one. How do we bench that? Can we bench that? We don't have enough in reserve, I think, to think, oh, that's so much better. Like, I'm not playing Dunk at home to Arsenal instead of Wilson at home to Leeds.
Leads, yeah. What I'm we've lost as Kepa in goal is okay.
Kepa, back three of Doherty, Gabriel, Robertson.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this as 10 players, to be honest. So, Fernandes, Mount, Son, Darwin Núñez, Wilson, Martial. We'd need, with no transfers, to put in one of Dunk, Bueno or Somerville. Somerville flags off, but it's Newcastle away. I don't think he'll start. Bueno at home to United don't appeal. Dunk at home to Arsenal don't appeal.
So, we can obviously sell Madison, right? So
Madison's got to go. Then it's a case of, do we want to take a minus four to remove Callum Wilson? So I think this is fairly straightforward. There was a player that you really wanted the other day, Suj, in the differential team. You remember it was? I kind of opened up to looking at different options.
What was his ownership?
What's his ownership? Under 10%, yeah. You nutter.
who did I want to go with?
Someone in midfield.
Yeah, I can guess that.
5.4% owned, 8 million in price.
Kulu.
Yeah.
Mm.
That seems
Kulusevski. I'm taking him all day long, mate. He's always going to be one of those that I'd happily have in my team.
That seems like a reasonable replacement to me for Madison.
It's a good replacement.
You in agreement with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that gives us 0.3 in the bank for a potential Callum Wilson replacement. The player that I'd arguably consider taking a -4 for is Kai Havertz. We can't afford it. And the reason I say Kai Havertz for the -4, he's 7.8, by the way. The reason I say Kai Havertz is obviously decent fixture this week away to Forest. He scored, so I think he stays in the team. Then you've got double. Then I think like if you want to, you can go back for Wilson. But that means if you wanted to do that, that you've got to go someone else instead of Kulusevski, someone cheaper. And there ain't a lot in there at that kind of 7 to 8 million that overly appeals with. Oh, yeah, that's what I want. Is there any forwards that you'd be particularly interested in at kind of under 7.5-ish?
Eddie and Ketcher. Tough fixtures.
It is.
But it's 2.5% ownership.
It's a -4 for Brighton away and Newcastle at home.
It doesn't, and you're gonna want to sell him as soon as Jesus is fit again. So it doesn't overly appeal. But when I look at the list of players that are under 10% and under, let's say, 7.5 million, he's the one that stands out. Like Ollie Watkins is decent, 7.1, but I don't really know what their fixtures are like. Doesn't
Tottenham away, Wolves at home. Not taking a -4 for Ollie Watkins. Tottenham away.
Not going with. There's nothing, mate. Nothing. Even Scamacca and Antonio, you're not going there, are you?
Nah.
Okay, so exactly. Nah. So then it's Martial and Ketcher.
We've got Martial.
Yeah, so then it's Ketcher. There's no Ollie Watkins is the only Solanke? Other one. Nah, not interested in that.
It's not a -4 job, is it?
No.
Che Adams? Nah. Fulham away, Forest at home?
Nope. No. Nah, away, I think Forest at home? I think just take a punt on Wilson, mate. Just take a punt on it. Yeah.
Or do you want to consider an alternative to Deke?
What budget would we set ourselves? 7.5?
If we took the -4 for Havertz, so we need to be finding, I think, around about 0.6 more. So let's stick Havertz in. Havertz in 7.7 you'd have to play with instead.
Rodrigo?
Of Leeds?
Hmm.
What do you mean of Leeds, James? Like there's a fucking another one? I suppose it's the one at Man City that scored against them the other day. Again, though, -4 Newcastle away.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't feel right. But I like him as a shout. He's on radar.
Gundo, 7.3.
No, not for me. Gomeris, 5.7.
Nah. Leave. Just go with, just get Kulu in, mate.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right call, isn't it?
Mm.
Okay. Agreed. Kulusevski in. Are we saying we're going to start with Wilson then?
Yeah.
Okay. Kulusevski in for Madison. Start with Wilson. Dunk Bueno Somerville, Ben Shorter.
Yes.
Captain. There's a few options here.
Who do you fancy?
Nunes.
Let's go with it then. I think they'll do all right at home in Liverpool. I think Nunes is a good shot.
Yeah, chaos. Darwin Nunes. And if he does well tonight, it'll probably be the last time we own him, I think. So 16.8%. Sonny Vice, I think.
Okay.
Right, that's the differentials. -56. There's only one team scored 100.
Okay.
And that
That's
was
surprising.
Tony Liggis. Well, it's not actually. I explain why. Tony Liggis scored 100. Captain Haaland, Rashford 14, Odegaard 11, Salah 12, Shaw 8, Trippier 12, Robertson 8. The reason I don't think it's surprising is essentially those who got to 100 this week have been taken there by Haaland, right?
Right.
And I think the sensible play really was Captain
Skip
Haaland
this week.
This week. Skip next week. Then you've got Haaland again for double. So I'm pretty sure most have gone on the strategy of Haaland this week and game week 20, I would think. So I think that's why there was only one score hit 100. Lowest score, though, 53. So wasn't many in the negative at all. Matthew E, 53 points. Captain KDB. Returnees were double clean sheet, De Gea and Shaw, Van Dijk, Harry Kane. That's your lot. I got 88 points, Suj.
Yeah, pip me by 3 points.
Pretty decent. Captain Marcus Rashford did well for me. I got the 22 points. Havertz Mount, 6 for Martial, 9 for Saka, 8 Martinelli, 8 Robertson. What did you finish on?
85, James. Which, just a tad behind you, but a loss is a loss. But I had Alisson in goal with only 3 points. Reece James, obviously, with a one-pointer. Robertson Shaw, 8. Rashford, 14. Odegaard, 11. Salah, captain, 24. And Ketcher and Tony, 6 and 5, respectively. But yeah, 85 is not a bad score, but not quite good enough.
Go on, Em. What you got this week?
I've gone heavy, James, in that. I've gone as heavy can be on Manchester City. I've got Haaland, captain, De Bruyne and Cancelo. Bring out the big boys. I've gone all in on Chelsea defence. Arrizabalaga, Koulibaly and Cucurella. So I've got three of them at the back. I've got triple Arsenal, White, Martinelli and Xhaka. And then I've got Harry Kane up top as vice-captain and Almiron in midfield. My bench is Olsen, Willock, Greenwood, Tanganga. But yeah.
Can you just say Jaffet's name again?
Yeah, Tanganga.
Stop it, please. Please don't make me laugh, honestly. Interesting, you've gone treble Chelsea defence.
Yeah.
With A, an away fixture.
Yeah.
And B, obviously, they've got a double in the next game week.
Yeah, but then I can go to Havertz, Mount, and Sterling if I wanted to next week, right? And they've got other defenders as well.
Good luck with that. right, I've gone more of an assortment this week. Treble Man City mandatory, though, I would say. But I've not gone as heavy on it as you. I've gone 4-3-3, Alisson in goal, Trent, Akanji, Thiago Silva, Matt Doherty. Midfield three of Martin Odegaard, Miguel Almiron, and Riyad Mahrez. Up front, power front three. Captain Erling Haaland, vice-captain Harry Kane, and Darwin Chaos Nunez. On the bench, Olsen, Xhaka, Botman, Willock.
Cool. That's a lot. Sky, just touching on Sky, I'm only likely to make one move, James, which is bringing in Harry Kane on Sunday for Erling Haaland. That's still on the cards for me, but I am going to spend some time today with the old spreadsheet and try and figure out if there are any other gains that I can get, because I do need to start using some fucking transfers, man.
I'll post an update on James Planner this morning.
Okay, I'll wait for that.
I bought a Kanji on Wednesday for Shalabar. Okay. I don't know if that's going to be the right decision or not.
Do you know?
It fucking looked it until Leeds scored. I didn't actually finish that far behind where I started the week in the end, despite some people had some mental scores this week.
Really? Like what?
Some people in like 160s, 170s. Ooh, and stuff, mate.
That's big. So, I ended on 125.
116 or something I had, I think.
I had 125, which isn't bad. I didn't use any transfers. But when in the City game, obviously, Rodri scores. So I've got Rodri, and he's got really low ownership. I didn't realise he's like less than 5% in the top 1,000. It's mad. And then Kyle Walker didn't play for me. So people that had other City defenders, like you did with Akanji, or if they'd have gone in on someone on the day, the clean sheet wipeout was like fucking gold. That was fantastic, because I had no defense, only had Edison, then defensive coverage, and people would have had double up. So ended up working out all right. Like, I'll take that 125 points. I feel like Rodri lost a tackle tier post-game.
Did he? I don't know.
Yeah, because I was on 127, but I got 400 place rides overall, which is like 10%. I'll take that. And yeah, we move on and see where we go. I better set my captains while we're here. But yeah, I'm only making, it's only Salah for me today. Haaland, and then it will be Kane.
Be Van Dijk, Haaland, and yeah, Harry on Sunday. And then we'll do this again on Monday. And tell you
I have
what we're
no
do
players on Wednesday.
Ones.
Are you guys playing on Wednesday next week?
Yes, yeah, Palace away. So
lovely. So I'll have Kane for
plus,
that.
Plus, Wednesday's a night you might want to invest in Villa or Leeds.
Okay, I'll be having a look. Okay.
You won't be short.
Patrons, enjoy your New Year's. Have a fantastic one. If you're going to any games, I hope your team wins, unless you're a Brentford fan. And we'll see you Sunday night. We're going to be recording a main podcast for you all. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Happy New Year, patrons. Lots of love. Play it your way. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.